Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us today. If you have a Bible question or some troublesome life issue you'd like to discuss, we'd love to hear about it right now and take you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ and walking in His life every day. The lines are open for you right now at 844-322-2742, and that, of course, good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Call now because it's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, we do have open lines right now, 844-322-2742, as we begin this new week in November. We would love to hear from you if you have things that are of concern to you, if you have Bible questions, a particular verse that you're not sure about, or just any personal issues, or just want to talk. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast of Basic Gospel. Again, the number 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. We're talking about hope this month, and certainly we need a lot of hope in this world today. I know many people are in desperate situations, and they're looking for just a ray of light, something that would give them a sense of encouragement, a sense of hope that they can get out of the circumstances, the situations that they're currently in. And that's what the gospel does. It provides us hope. Here's what Paul had to say in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Since we have such a hope, we are very bold. So Paul is talking about here his ministry as a minister of the new covenant. And this is a ministry that brings life. Jesus came into this world so that you and I could have life. Jesus came into this world to declare us righteous in God's sight. These are the things that come through this new covenant. So Jesus Christ, when he died at the cross 2,000 years ago, he completed the old covenant. He brought that old Mosaic law to an end, to a completion, to its fulfillment. And then, in offering his blood once and for all, he ushered in a brand new covenant. And this covenant is really God's will for you and me. And God's will for you and me is to have life, is to be made alive spiritually, just as Jesus Christ was raised from the dead physically. That's God's will for you and me. It's also God's will that we be made right in God's sight. Well, the old covenant didn't offer hope in regards to those things. It didn't have an offer of life. It didn't have an offer of righteousness. As a matter of fact, the old covenant simply condemned us. It showed us where we were failing. It showed us where we missed the mark. So it condemned us. It showed us our unrighteousness. And it left us dead in trespasses and sins. That's the ministry of the old, so there's not a lot of hope there. As a matter of fact, the more you understand what that law was all about as far as its spiritual purpose is concerned, you see that it's just darkness. There's no hope there at all. But that hope or that darkness gives way to the light of Jesus Christ. He is the light of this world. Those who follow him will not walk in darkness. That's the great hope that you and I have. So Paul was not a minister of the old covenant. He was a minister of the new covenant. And with that new covenant, there was such hope. And with that hope, he became very bold in his proclamation. He didn't hold back. He didn't try to make it palatable as far as the culture was concerned. He didn't try to bend the message to fit with the culture. No, he simply proclaimed the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Why did he do that? Because that's the message that brings hope into the world. That's the message that offers life, eternal life, real life, genuine life, something that we can experience that far transcends what we could have out there in the world that we live in today. It's a ministry that brings righteousness, that makes us right in God's sight and really puts our souls at rest as far as our relationship with God is concerned. It's also a ministry that draws us close to God's very heart. The Spirit of God comes to live inside of us, and we experience that closeness, that oneness with Him. And in that oneness, we experience freedom and transformation. That's the hope of this new covenant that Jesus Christ ushered in at His death 2,000 years ago. And it's that hope that you have today. And it's my prayer that you are anchored to that hope, that you know you have eternal life, that you know that you've been declared right in God's sight, that you know God's Spirit is alive, living in you. And through the Spirit, you have freedom. And that freedom leads to transformation. As Paul ends this section of his letter to the Corinthians, he says this, "And we all with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. From this comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit." In Jesus Christ, in this new hope, or in this new covenant, we have great hope. Hope that will transform us here and now. So we pray that's the hope that you have in your day-to-day life. If you're looking for hope, if you look around you and all you see is darkness and you're feeling down and out, you're feeling hopeless, well, give us a call. We would love to hear from you, and we'd love to talk about it on Basic Gospel. The number is 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Well, this month we do have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands. It is the book, The Hurt and the Healer, by our good friend Andrew Farley. Andrew pastors a church out in Lubbock. He hosts his own radio broadcast, Andrew Farley Live, and he is a member of our board of directors. So Andrew and I have been friends for many years, and he just has a way of putting the message in very clear and profound terms, and he's done so in a beautiful way in this book, The Hurt and the Healer. He co-authored this with Bart Millard, who is the lead singer for Mercy Me. Many of you know Mercy Me, know his song Imagine. It's just one of the most listened to Christian songs in history. And he also put a song out by this title, The Hurt and the Healer. And after he did this, he and Andrew collaborated on this wonderful work. And it is a book that will help identify some of the faulty thinking that you may have and why that faulty thinking is really the cause of a lot of the emotional pain and turmoil and upheaval that you may be experiencing in your life. If you get your thinking aligned with the truth of the gospel, the great hope that's in the gospel, you will see these emotions starting to calm down and to be replaced by things like joy and peace and rest for the soul. So we want to put this in your hands. It's available for a gift to Basic Gospel this month. It's our way of saying thank you for standing with us in proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ, letting the world know about the hope of the gospel of Christ through His death, burial, and resurrection. Just go to our homepage, basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Click the big banner right in the middle of the page with the hurt and the healer icon, and then follow all the instructions, and we'll get that book into your hands as quickly as we possibly can. And this is not only a great book for you to help you in your personal journey with the Lord, but it is a great resource to put in the hands of others. As we started out this month, we looked at some statistics as to what has been happening in our American population. And 50% of Americans have said during the year 2020 that they've experienced anxiety, depression, being down and out, feeling hopeless. And as the writer of the survey said, that's just too many Americans feeling depressed. We need some answers. We need some solutions. Well, those solutions are found in the person and work of Jesus Christ. He can lift us out of our circumstances. So make sure you order your copy of The Hurt and the Healer, and then use it to pass on to somebody that may need this help and this hope that only the gospel can bring. Well, this is Basic Gospel. My name is Bob Christopher. We're so glad that you have joined us on this particular broadcast. We have plenty of open lines, and we would love to hear from you. So if you have a question about your personal circumstances, if you have a question about a passage in the Word of God, or maybe what's going on in the world today, we would love to hear from you. Again, the number 844-322-2742. We had this email question that came in over the weekend. This is from James, who listens to us out in Bend, Oregon. He writes this: I know God can heal. I have heard the stories, but he seems to be arbitrary and capricious. I wonder about the value of praying over someone. In 77 years, I've yet to see in congregations prayers that come to fruition. My dad died at 40, my mom at 38, my son at 28, and my daughter at 46. And he simply says, thanks. And we can experience a lot of frustrations when we have expectations of the Lord in certain areas. And if we have loved ones who are sick, and we want them to be well, we want them to be healed of that sickness so that we can enjoy our relationships with them in a much fuller way. And so we pray, and we fervently pray, and we lift these loved ones up to the Lord, and then we ask friends to pray with them as well, and we ask congregations to pray, and we keep expanding out the number of people that we're bringing in to pray for this particular loved one. And then when they die, we can get angry over that. God, why didn't you hear our prayers? Why didn't you respond? Why didn't you heal our loved ones? And what we have to realize is this, that in the Word of God, we are not guaranteed physical healing here on planet Earth, as far as this life here and now. Jesus Christ certainly healed all kinds of sicknesses and diseases. He even raised people back to life who were dead. And so we would love for Jesus to be doing those things here and now. And certainly he has the ability to do so. He has the desire to do so. So those things can't be in question. It's just, is that the right thing, the perfect thing at this particular moment for this particular person? And we don't know that. We can't enter into that kind of thinking. It certainly seems right as far as we're concerned. But God, in allowing a sickness to carry out to its full measure, he's going to bring that person home. And that person, when he takes his last breath, is going to be absent from the body and present with the Lord, if indeed they are believers in Christ Jesus. And as Paul said in his letter to the Philippians, that is a better thing. That is a greater thing, that we be absent from the body and present with the Lord. So we have to look at that and say, I'm going to pray this, and this is my desire, but I'm going to be satisfied with the will of God in this particular situation. I'm going to be content regardless of how this situation unfolds. If that person dies and they go to be with the Lord, I'm going to rejoice. I'm going to miss them like crazy, but I'm going to rejoice. So here's what we need to do in our lives. We have this phrase, and it's popular among all kinds of ministers and Christian leaders. It's establishing realistic expectations. Oftentimes, we have disappointments in life based on our unrealistic expectations. And those unrealistic expectations can send us down a path of anger and fear and self-pity and all of those sort of things. So we have to make sure the expectations that we have in any given situation align themselves with the truth. So our desire is for our loved ones to be healed. So we need to pray fervently about that. And the Word of God certainly encourages us to do so. But we need, in offering that prayer, to recognize the will of God, that we're praying these things and trusting the will of God to take place in a person's life. And so that's where we need to match our expectations to what God has said about these things in His Word. And so God has said that we're going to receive a brand new body, and that's at a point in the future. That's our hope, and that's where ultimate healing, physical healing, is going to occur, in the resurrection of the body. And so that's what we long for. That's what we hope for. Here and now, we have a healing of the souls. We have a healing of the spirit. Our spirits are brought from death to life. We're made alive together with Christ Jesus. Our souls are now at rest in God's presence, knowing that we're eternally saved. So there's a healing of the soul that takes place. Our minds are being renewed. But our body, that's something that's going to take place in the future. Now, certainly that doesn't mean God can't heal us now of physical diseases, and He certainly does that, but that's not always the case. So let's step back and say, we know our loved ones, if they're absent from the body and present with the Lord, they have experienced their ultimate healing in Christ Jesus, and they're going to see that ultimate healing in the resurrection, and we're going to be there with them to enjoy that full measure of salvation with our brothers and sisters in Christ, our loved ones, in our own family. So, James, you keep praying, but recognize that it's the gospel that brings healing to the spirit, to the soul, and will one day bring healing to these bodies in the resurrection that we will all go through when our Lord returns. Well, James, hope that is helpful. Thank you for sending that question in to us via email. We certainly appreciate it. Our number is 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Go ahead and call right now. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. Kat has this. She says, I still wonder at times if I'm really saved. I struggle so much with anxiety and fear, partly because of my environment. So how do we deal with that? How do we overcome those doubts in our day-to-day experience? Well, I think we have to step back and say, I don't want to look at how I'm feeling. I don't want to look at my circumstances to judge whether I'm saved or not. Those aren't the things that we look to gauge what Christ has done in our lives. We look at the cross, we look at the resurrection, and we look at the promises that have been given to us in the Word. For example, in Romans chapter 10, Paul says this, for anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved, whether Jew or Gentile. So we call upon the Lord, that's simply believing the gospel of Jesus Christ, responding to the grace that has been poured out through Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. When we call upon the name of the Lord, we're saved. And when we're saved, God crosses us over from death to life. He makes us alive together with Christ. He gives us the very righteousness of Christ. He cleanses us. He gives us forgiveness of sins. He makes us holy and perfect in the sight of God, holy and blameless as well. All of those things occurred at the moment of salvation. And not only that, He sent His Holy Spirit to take up residence in us. And that is the deposit guaranteeing our eternal inheritance. So everything that needed to be done as far as our salvation is concerned has been done through the work of Jesus Christ and through the regenerating work of God's Holy Spirit. So we can think all sorts of things, and as a result of those thoughts, feel all kinds of negative emotions. We can be anxious about tomorrow. We can wonder what tomorrow is going to hold for us. And usually when we're thinking about things that are going to happen to us in the future, it's always negative. We're always running our future down a negative path, a downward path. It's weird that we do that, but that's what we do. And so when we start to see ourselves go down that negative path in the future, now we're not, we're living right now, but that's what we project is going to happen to us in the future, then our emotions respond to those futuristic thoughts right now. So we start feeling anxious. We start feeling fearful about tomorrow. Will that be my reality? Will that actually happen to me? What is that going to be like? And so we have to bring our thoughts back to right now. We have to bring our thoughts right to where we are today. And where we are today, if we're believers, is we're in Christ. We're in Jesus. And because we're in Jesus, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We have the love of God that has been poured out in our hearts. We've been declared righteous, and we have the gift of God's Spirit. We have God with us every single day. And so knowing that truth, we can respond to it with an attitude of thanksgiving. And that attitude of thanksgiving starts to change the emotions that we are currently experiencing. We will see that anxiety and fear and those sort of things start to diminish as we give thanks to the Lord for all the things that He has done for us in Christ Jesus. And that's when that assurance will just come through to us, and we will know that we are truly in Christ, and we know that we belong to Him forever. Kat, hope that helps. Glad you are listening. If you have any further questions, don't hesitate to call or write. We certainly love hearing from all of our listeners, either through via email or through YouTube or Facebook, or by picking up the phone and calling us at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Well, Terry had this question. If sin is clearly unbelief and I choose to believe, what must I regard as sin when we are told, for instance, to confess our sins one to another? I hope I've gotten that out clearly. Great work. So the root of all sin is unbelief in Jesus Christ. The fruit of that sin of unbelief is all these other things. It's drunkenness, it's adultery, it's bearing false witness, it's lying, it's stealing. Those are the fruits of this root called unbelief. Now, as believers in Christ, we can still tell lies. We can still, commit adultery. We see believers doing these things all the time. So we need to call it what it is. We don't want to try to come up with a new name for it. Let's call it for what it is. And when we do, we can see the overwhelming power of the cross of Jesus Christ, that Christ took care of that sin. He dealt with it once and for all. And so we can truly rest in the fact that that deed has been taken care of by Christ Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean He condones it. That doesn't mean any of that. What we did will cause harm in somebody else's life. And so we have to recognize that. That's why we confess our sins one to another, so we can recognize the real consequences and trust the Lord to bring some type of healing in those particular situations. Well, we hope that helps, Terry. Thanks for that question. This is Basic Gospel. Now for the whole team that is here, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long. We'll see you tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.